Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
I heard this song over the break and I decided it was a fun Friday song, so I'm airing it. This is Rocky Sharp and the Replays. It's not the original of Ramalama Ding Dong, but I do like it quite a bit. It's going to get stuck in your head. You know what we need, Sue? We need that little thing that gets the earworms out of your
brain. Yes, the earworm eraser.
Because
where do we get that?
Well, it's up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Maybe Ethan can pull that. Right, yeah.
It's the weirdest thing, too, when you listen to it. It really is weird, but it works.
Yeah, I should have had him put that in there because I knew I was going to play that song. Although the show for this hour started a little bit more abruptly than I was anticipating. Welcome to the 4 o'clock hour, ladies and gentlemen. All of a sudden, the song was, I'm like, oh, I think it's my turn to talk. Sue is hanging out with us. Fred Bottomer, the Hall of Famer. And Jane Duker, who will be with us for this hour. Jane, we didn't cover this during the roundtable, but this is pretty important for your party in particular. Hakeem Jeffries, who is the Democrat leader in the House, right? He's the minority leader. He made a vow to the American people that I think is very important today.
We will fight hard for the freedom to vote.
Yeah, you heard him.
We will fight hard.
So congratulations. And I hope he keeps that promise.
Better out than in.
That will make a nice segue here for me. Do you know what a fartlek is?
I do not.
Okay, this. Okay.
Do we want to know?
Yes, we do. Okay. We do. Because this is the only reason that it's a nice segue is because I had that soundbite. I was going to do this story even without the reference to farting. But this was in the Washington Post, and we are all in that that phase right now where people go to the gym for like 4 weeks, and then they never go again.
Correct. Right?
And one of the reasons, and I admitted this to someone today, that Sue is predicting, probably quite accurately, that my fascination with my new hobby, baking, will be short-lived is because, as Sue knows, she's gotten to know me, I'm an all-in or an all-out guy.
That is 100%. Yes.
Right, so I'm into something for a little bit, and then I'm gone, right?
Yep. Yep.
And the gym tends to be this challenge for me, and it gets frustrating because I feel like I need to get off my lazy ass right now and do something, but I can come up with every reason on the planet to not do that. So there is something that they do, and this isn't that complicated, I don't think, when you think about it, when I explain it, but it's called a fartlek, and it means speed play in Swedish. And what they're saying is that this is a way that people keep in shape, and it does make sense to listen to it, Sue. It's essentially an informal version of interval training, right? So think of it this way. If you're going to, I'm going to get in shape, I'm going to go run 3 miles. Well, if you haven't done that in a while, you're likely to run about 30 yards, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're not going to get very far. So what they say here is to start fartlek training, head outside, warm up for a few minutes at whatever activity you most enjoy. Oh. Maybe it's walking, running, biking, unicycling, or snowshoeing.
That's
then,
Fred.
Then, right. Oh, you are a snowshoer. Pick a landmark ahead, right? It could be a tree, a colorful mailbox, or an unusual rock formation. Pick up your pace until you reach it. Then drop back to your original pace. Let your heart rate and breathing slow. Look for another landmark. Vary the distance between these goals and aim for perhaps 30 minutes of fartleks once a week to start. So you go out for a half an hour. I think a lot of people have done this. They've just never used that term before.
That is an official running term for training, fartlek.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay. Yeah.
I do that whenever if we do 5Ks, you know, Marie and I will say, okay, I see a stop sign 2 blocks down.
Run till there.
Right. That's it.
And then you stop and you walk a while. Then
absolutely.
You pick another landmark.
And if you know you're not running for like 5 miles, then you're more likely to continue doing it.
And by the way,
rather than stop
there
altogether.
Is science. I've even seen some recently that shows that interval training really, I used to do this when I was on the bike quite a bit. It really does.
It does work.
You know, like with cyclists in particular, you can, you know, go at a high speed and keep that speed, but you're going to benefit yourself if you're trying to get faster and more fit by going harder, and then you back it off, right?
Yep.
And what they say here is, again, this isn't new. For generations, competitive athletes have used highly structured, intense interval training. usually on a track or treadmill. But this, I just never heard that term before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's usually attributed to the Swedish Olympic decathlete and running coach Gösta Hallman, who reputedly developed the concept in the 1930s after the Swedish cross-country team repeatedly were trounced by their neighbors, the Finns, during international competitions. The Finns were kicking their butts, and he's like, let's do a little fartlek training, and that's how they got back on track.
Lovely name.
Right.
Yes.
But don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, just remember this.
We will fart hard.
We will. We will fart hard into the future.
We need
these allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I just need to say, Sue, that you have about a half an hour here since the show started about 5 minutes earlier
yeah,
than I expected.
Yeah, that's not great news for
take,
me.
Take your time, Sue. Just roll through this at any pace that you'd
right.
like.
All right.
Wow.
It is National Drinking Straw Day. Huh? That's something.
Duh.
Well, I support straws.
Do you?
Strongly.
You, okay.
Yeah,
what
and
is
not the
thought?
Paper ones.
And not the paper ones.
Yeah.
I'm
they,
sorry.
They
and
don't
we found
last.
Out, and we found out that it didn't do anything.
Doesn't make
for
any
the
difference anyway,
so,
right.
Quit tormenting me and let me have my straws in peace. I even have glass straws now, trying
you,
to be
oh,
good.
Oh, that's interesting. Do
actually,
you like those?
Wait, is that safe?
Well, you clean
well, you
them.
You don't chew them.
Well, but I mean,
and you don't
well, what
chew
if you
them?
Do chew them?
Yeah, don't
well, you shouldn't.
Chew them.
I don't
do
chew
once.
Glass.
Yeah, right,
right,
exactly.
You'll do it once and you'll learn. Actually, I like them better. Everything goes through very smoothly.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it makes your lips cold because the glass
oh, yeah.
gets cold.
I am
supporting.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I like the plastic or rubber ones I got somewhere. You put them in the dishwasher. It's great. Fred,
absolutely.
What are your thoughts of straws? Are you a straw man?
I'm pro straw.
Yeah. I'm pro
yeah.
straw.
Yeah, we're all pro straw.
I never really think about it much. I just
no,
don't
I
like
don't
the,
either, Fred.
I don't like the paper ones.
My daughter.
Yes.
My
crap.
My daughter yells at me, though, because we do have all those they're like plastic disposable straws. And then I put them in the dishwasher. And Alexa's like, Daddy, they don't need to go in the dishwasher. You just throw them out. Like, okay, isn't that ruining the environment? Because they're just
yeah.
disposable,
yeah.
essentially.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
She's destroying the environment.
Yeah, I can't believe.
And she's listening right now. I want her to know that.
I stand with you, Alexa.
It's also National Chocolate-Covered Cherry Day. Oh, my mother used to love those.
Okay, I know. And people, they mock me because I love the chocolate-covered cherries. Like those Queen Anne's with the goop.
Yes, yes.
Love
that's
them.
That's because they're delicious.
Yeah,
they're delicious. And if you're against them, there's something wrong.
I like a dark chocolate one.
Yep.
If I
that's
were eating sugar.
Too.
Yep, I like that mixture.
Fred, chocolate covered
oh,
cherry.
Oh, yeah, I'm all for it.
Amen. Thank you. I'm around my people.
We are like the bipartisan spirit on food and other things in the
right?
CNN News
yes.
this afternoon is stunning.
I mean,
it's inspiring.
Is.
It really
it is.
Is.
It is.
Well, the world's oldest living Olympian passed away yesterday. She was 103. She was just a week away from her 104th birthday.
Oh, bless her heart.
Her name was Agnes Coletti, and she was a gymnast from Hungary. She was also a Holocaust survivor.
Ooh.
Her father was killed at Auschwitz. Agnes survived by pretending she was a Christian maid and made it all the way through World War II. World War II, of course, caused the cancellation of the Olympics in 1940 and in 1944 when she would have been there. But she managed to win 10 medals when competing for Hungary in 1952 and 1956. In fact, she was the oldest female gymnast to win a gold medal when she was 35.
Oh, wow.
Bless her heart.
Isn't that incredible?
Now, if you're 17, you've aged out.
But exactly.
Can I ask a random question
yes,
about something I saw today related to all this? Now,
we
love Simone Biles. I love Simone Biles.
Yeah,
nothing
she's awesome.
But I did see, like, wasn't there...
Sports Illustrated.
Sports Illustrated Athlete of the Year was Simone right. Biles. Why wouldn't it be Caitlin Clark? I mean...
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't know. I mean, I get Simone Biles, but that seemed to be the bigger story this year.
Well, that's actually a good question. The only justification I could think would be
the
that
comeback.
Olympics are only once every 4 years,
right.
and Caitlin Clark will continue to play. I don't know, but
and
you're
the,
right
and,
about
and
that.
And the comeback, I think that was. I think
oh,
that
that's
was
true.
Uniquely Simone Biles.
Well, if you take Caitlin Clark out of the mix, there's no doubt in my mind that it's Simone
right.
Biles. Nothing
right.
against her, right?
But that, yeah, I get
I
what you're saying. All right, we have music for this, Jane.
Ooh.
You'll like it.
Is it Ramalama Ding Dong by any
no,
chance?
No,
it
All
right,
is
I
not.
Was unprepared for this, but you tell me what it is. Is it the Osmonds?
Yep.
Oh, because
oh,
I heard Wayne
yes.
died, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't go wrong with the Osmonds on a Friday afternoon, right?
Crank it. I can tell you've been hurt by that look on your face.
the visual in the studio here, we're all raising our hands, except for Fred. Woo! Fred's looking very uncomfortable. We're all dancing in the studio. Come on, Fred. It's the Osmond Brothers,
Woo!
Damn it.
Woo!
Oh,
that's beautiful.
I just
and he
really,
was he the oldest brother?
Well, no.
Oh, okay.
But that is the sad news. Osmond brother Wayne passed away, and it turns out it was actually on the 1st of January. Wow. He was one of the co-founders of the Osmonds, and of course, the brother of Donnie and Marie. I really like this quote from his brother Merrill. Merrill, by the way, is the lead singer.
Isn't he the oldest?
I think so.
Yeah, I think Merrill.
It's Merrill, and then of course Donnie comes along later. But most of the lead singing is Merrill and or Donnie. All right, Merrill said, "I've never known a man that had more humility, a man with absolutely no guile, an individual that was quick to forgive and had the ability to show unconditional love to everyone."
Oh,
I just thought that was
really
the nicest.
Yeah.
That's
did they still? I'm not sure actually. Do they still have a thing in Branson, the Osmonds?
I'm not sure, but here's what's interesting: the group, the Osmonds, started as four of the siblings in a barbershop quartet in the '60s. Well, they're performing somewhere, and Andy Williams' dad sees them. So he says to Andy, who has a TV show at the time, "Hey, these kids were kind of great. You ought to have them on as just like a kick." Andy Williams says, "Okay." Has them on. They're a huge hit, and that everything goes from there.
From there. And then Donnie and Marie show up much later.
That's right.
Well, they were a little bit country and a little bit rock and roll.
That's
that
right.
That was, what, 1973, 74?
They showed
up
later.
Watched it on Sunday
Of course. We all watched it.
Yeah,
we
eventually
had to.
They added Donnie and Jimmy. Don't forget about Jimmy.
I remember Jimmy.
I almost forgot about Jimmy. My apologies to Jimmy.
Sorry, Jimmy.
Now, they even had their own cartoon. Now, I remember this vividly for some reason. And that was the theme song, One Bad Apple. And they each did the voice of their own person.
Character.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it was on Saturday mornings. Oh, it was a thing.
And of course we watched that.
Of course.
Hang on here. I'm going to Google something here.
And by the way, One Bad Apple, which was a number one song, was a number one song for 5 weeks in 1971.
That's
so good for them.
So what year was Jackson 5 out?
Oh,
with,
very similar time.
Like what was the name of that song? I Want You Back.
ABC?
I Want
You,
ABC.
Oh. Hold on. Or I Want You Back.
No, it's ABC.
Well, either one, because Michael's singing in that high voice Donnie.
Didn't Donnie.
That was released. All right, so One Bad Apple came out in 1970. I Want You Back was right before that, 1969, October of 1969.
Yeah.
So they're right there.
They, in fact, when I was looking up this song, they have an interview with Donny Osmond when Michael Jackson passed away, and he talked about how they were buddies doing this.
They were friends.
Really fun to kind of
and
see.
And they were like kid stars together, and they did have that bond.
You know, wait a second here. There's even this is musical ignorance on my part, okay? That song, One Bad Apple, was written by George Jackson, who had the Jackson 5 in mind when he wrote it. According to Donny Osmond, Michael Jackson later told him that the Jackson 5 almost recorded that song but chose to record ABC instead.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
And it was good for each of them.
What's kind of funny is that you think of Jimmy Osmond as the little baby. He's probably like 50 now.
Oh, yeah. He's
probably older than that.
I think he probably is older. I thought he was the same age as me.
He may be.
Close.
I actually don't know that one.
We'll have to look that
it's
up.
Just a... It's just an interesting thing. By the way,
he's just barely older than us.
Both Donnie,
he's younger than Fred, though.
And Michael Jackson were the seventh kids in their families.
And they were
random thoughts.
There you go.
All right. One of the laws that went into effect on New Year's Day was the one in Florida that bans children under 14 from having social media accounts. Just something to look out for. It sounds like parents of 14 and 15 year olds can have accounts if they are authorized by their parents. So you can have an account if you're that old, but your parents have to say okay. And there are some lawsuits about this, so they're not going to really enforce it till this thing is settled. What are your thoughts, Mark? You have a youngster.
Ban it completely.
Yeah.
Take it away from these kids. I don't know why, beyond that, I don't know why we can't keep phones out of schools. How difficult can that be?
I mean, and some schools are doing it.
Well, I know some are, but...
And it should be that easy. You do not bring a phone to school. I mean, could you imagine if we brought, like a transistor radio or whatever?
No.
I mean,
well, Jane, in fairness, we did bring cigarettes to school, right?
Well, they let us.
I know. But that's weird.
That's bad.
When you think about that today.
Oh, we had a smoking lounge.
Yes, I know. Parkway West had
a hot mess. But anyway, like disruptive things are not allowed. I mean, is it really that difficult? I mean, I would be all for banning them in the schools.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll see how that turns. You're right. We did all survive.
Barely.
I've just got some just random things to mention here. This weekend will be the final games of the NFL's regular season. Then we're off to the playoffs. Oh, and Spotify, this has more music, Mark. Spotify announced that its most streamed song of 2024 was this one, Billie Eilish.
Very difficult for me because I just don't get her, and I love this song. I thought it was a great song. It was the only Billie Eilish song I've ever played as a bump, but it really is a good song. Maybe she's great, and I've seen her in concert. She's very entertaining. I was at a music festival, but none of her songs have ever connected with me.
Well,
except for this one. It was you. Anyway, that's a good song.
Birds of a Feather.
Right.
By Billie Eilish, the most streamed song of 2024 on Spotify. All right, this is bizarre, but kind of interesting. There is an abandoned quarry on the border of Wales and England where an organization called Deep is going to be testing out underwater living. So they say, all right, we're going to the moon. We're going to try it there. What about underwater? It's called the Vanguard Project, and they hope to have an underwater modular habitat finished by 2027. Now, these would be portable, pressurized shelters where divers can live for up to a week. So they think the idea is we're going to go down there, study the bottom of the ocean, and then have a place to stay. Now, none of us understands 3D printing, but that's part of how they're able to do this.
Wow.
It's possible now because of modern 3D printing with welding that can create these structures. And the goal for them is eventually to have people be able to live in the ocean for months or even years.
Well,
I never thought about that, but I guess it kind of makes sense.
It does make sense.
It's safe.
It's a little bit more, you would think it's more attainable than living on Mars at this point.
It, I guess.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little scary.
I don't know that I would have any desire.
No
would
way.
You rather live on the moon or under the water, Fred?
On the moon.
Moon.
What about you, Mark?
The moon for sure. Look, I can't. I give so much credit to these members of the military who ever have spent. Look, I give credit to any member of the military, but anyone who's ever been on a submarine in the middle of the ocean, because if you've ever toured, like if you go to Pearl Harbor, I would be crawling out of my skin the first minute that it submerges.
Wow,
and freaking out. So
it is the underwater part that.
Yeah, and it's just the claustrophobia.
Yeah. Yeah,
for me, it's not claustrophobia. It's just water is very powerful.
Yeah,
any time the water could overtake you. Like, I trust any structure to keep the water off?
No, especially if it's 3D printed.
Talk to Sandra Bullock. She's out there still flying around in space. So how much better is that?
But that's just floating. You're not drowning.
But you're right about that.
Right.
You could die there too.
I'm afraid of drowning.
Oh, well, then this is not for you.
Probably not for me. No. I think that's why I say moon.
Should have led with that.
Yeah. And finally, in Sue's news, we have the world's fastest random fact. You ready? The Atlantic Ocean is much saltier than the Pacific.
Really?
Oh. Yes, which I did not realize. But apparently, it's a thing.
But is there a reason?
Sue's news did not delve into that.
If so, it would become a longer
answer.
It would not be the short random
quick.
Fact. There we go. Thank you. Sue's news in the books for this Friday, and I get to play a little bit more Ram-a-lama Ding Dong.
Ram-a-lam Ding Dong.
Mr. Cusimano coming up in just a little bit. We'll talk some sports. We have Brian Kilmeade live in the 5 o'clock hour right now on some entertainment stuff. Paul Hall from Common Guy Films, commonguy.com. How are you, Paul? Good afternoon. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mark. I tell you, it's been a good year, I guess, at the movies and TV. I think I was more impressed almost with TV this year than movies. But, you know, looking back at the year, there's a lot of things that kind of impressed me in different ways. I didn't do a traditional top 10 list this year because, well, I was done with them pretty much.
Yeah.
Instead, I wanted to talk about movies or TV shows that I felt I wanted to talk about, whether they were great or not great.
Okay.
Just things that I enjoyed.
Let's recap then, and maybe Jane and I and Sue can contribute to some of these as well. I mean, Jane in particular has seen pretty much every show that's out there, but what are amongst your favorites?
Well, you know, I was the first thing I was really shocked is that Wicked lived up to the hype. And it's one of those things when you get hyped as much as Wicked was coming into the end of this year, and it being part one of two, you go, well, should is it going to get there?
Yeah,
and you know,
I think
what?
A lot of people
it
said
did.
That.
Yeah, and it did. It was fantastic, and it's a great first half. They cut it off at almost the perfect place. It never felt too long, even though you were dealing it with 2.5 hours of movie, and the music is spectacular. It's a great storyline, and I think it's something people are going to wait for part two, which comes up in 25.
Yeah, I loved it. It's not for everyone. If you don't like musicals, you're probably not going to like it, but I thought it was spectacular as well. And, you know, I would put it in the category of a film that deserves. You got the Golden Globes this weekend. The Critics' Choice Awards are coming out here soon. You're still a voting member in that. But, you know, I think when it comes to some of these Oscar contenders, Paul, and this happens every year, as I was someone who voted on these awards for two decades, there's all these movies that I'm watching right now, and I almost want there to be an experiment, Jane, and I don't think we could ever do this, but Paul, think about this. Let's say that all three of us, all four of us, we'll put Sue in the mix here, we are given 30 movies to watch that are awards contenders, right? We don't know anything about, we're in our basements, we gotta watch all those 30, we gotta come up with a list of the top five movies that we've watched.
Right.
Having done that right now, I wouldn't put, there's a couple of films that are being talked about for Best Picture that I would never put in a Best Picture category. Now, they're okay, like the Jesse Eisenberg movie, A Real Pain. I thought it was good. I thought it was compelling. It's not Best Picture. Wicked is Best Picture. The Dylan biopic, to me, that's a Best Picture nominee. There's a few others, but there's a lot of these this time of year where you shake your head and say, what the hell?
Yeah, and that's what most people feel, and that's why award shows don't get the viewing that they used to. It's one of those things where you can go and see all these movies that you haven't seen. You can't really stream in most cases some of them, and you just don't want to sit through them because, quite frankly, let's be honest, and Mark, you've done this. You've been through this slog at this time of year. When you're watching a lot of movies and back-to-back-to-back, they're on the depressing side.
Yeah, they are.
It just kind of gets to you.
Yeah, wears on you.
Over a course of time.
It absolutely does.
And what is wrong with movie award shows, like liking movies that a lot
are
of people
popular.
Like?
Right, right.
I mean, it's almost as if it's popular, it's off the list.
Yep.
No, not my list. And that's
Mark, not your list, but these award shows.
Mark and I have in general, when we voted for Critics' Choice, we would exchange our lists on the night that the ballots were due in just to see where we landed. And I think Mark and I went to a lot more of the populist titles because we come from a part of the country here where in the Midwest, it's just we have more sensibility.
Well, Paul,
and we like a variety of stuff.
The shows were
artsy
good.
Fartsy and the fun.
Yeah, right. I think there's definitely, and I can say this very comfortably because I've hung with these people, but there's snobbery in these critics groups,
sure.
And they all think that they are better than everyone else. And what happens is, like, I save this list from the LA Times because I always want to see where people are, you know, the best movies of the year. So Amy Nicholson, one of the critics from the LA Times, puts her list together. And there's a bunch of movies that people haven't seen. Anora is a film that's got a lot of buzz. I haven't seen that one yet. Yeah. I mentioned A Real Pain. She puts A Real Pain at number 4. Again, good movie. I liked it. But at number 5 was this film called, I don't even know if I want to call it a film. It's called Hundreds of Beavers. And I've watched this damn thing mainly because I wanted to make fun of it. It is the most bizarre, freaky, weird damn movie. Even my kids, my son was in town with his girlfriend. I made them watch it. They thought it was bizarre. It's I can't even describe it. I really can't.
But they feel really good being so obscure.
Right. Yeah. And they're cooler than everyone because they've seen it and it's not even in theaters yet. It's not going to get released until, you know what I mean? This is the mindset that a lot of the critics give. And the other thing that happens is, and Paul, you probably saw the email today, and I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but there's a guy that just passed away in the Critics' Choice. He was one of the founding members. I knew him pretty well. His name was Jim Ferguson. But what I'll tell you about Jim, and Paul, you know this, is if there was a crappy movie that was out, right? And I mean, one of the, what could we think of? Let's say Norbit, because that's always my go-to.
And
I can name some names that you could recognize right now. Sean Edwards from Kansas City. The crappiest movies out there will still get a blurb from a critic that says, it's the best movie of the year. And that was this guy, Jim Ferguson. And that's this guy, Sean Edwards, in Kansas City. And that's what a lot of them do because they're kind of on the take. And none of this stuff happens accidentally. A good example of this right now is what's happening with Justin Baldoni and the whole dust-up with what's-her-name.
Yeah. Because is that all orchestrated?
Blake Lively.
Blake Lively. Because that's both sides are manipulating the story on that. You have high-powered PR agents that manipulate things. So the same thing happens with award shows. They get out ahead of these, you know, critics, and they lavish
and
them
they
with gifts.
Them in.
But Paul, I'm still getting posters and stuff like that. I got the coolest signed poster of Maria Perez or whatever the hell that movie is.
Amelia Perez,
right.
Yeah.
Because they want me. I'm not even a voting member, but they do this. The movie company spent a lot of money bribing people across the country to vote for their films. In many cases, people haven't even seen the movies. It's well documented that Oscar voters share their screeners. Now you do it digitally, but they would give their DVDs to family members. Say, hey, tell me what to vote for, right? And that's how a lot of this happens.
So, what's interesting, though, is the TV shows. I mean, I guess that's the nature of the medium, but, you know, because you can't have a crappy show because nobody watches it, nobody ever hears about it, but the TV shows make a lot more sense. I mean, they get it more right.
You know
right.
You're right about
I
that.
I think you're right.
Why
but I
is
think
that,
I think,
think
the reason is because, look, you can have the most critically acclaimed movie on the planet, 99% Rotten Tomatoes, and it's made $3,000 at the box office. In television, it is what it is. People are going to watch it or they're not going to watch
exactly,
it.
Exactly,
right?
And it won't make it. So
exactly.
I mean, because I looked at the, you know, the shows they nominated. I'm like, there's some really good, legit ones here that I support.
I think you're getting, to your point, Jane, I think it's an excellent point. You're getting a better, more accurate take of what is exceptional in the television world. Although,
because it's harder to survive.
Right, but some of this stuff is so artsy-fartsy, and it just gets beyond people. Paul, you mentioned a movie here that you really liked for 2024. I've recommended it to everyone, called Thelma. With June Squibb, who is a wonderful 94-year-old actress. This is on Hulu. It is a wonderful film, but you're not going to hear that as a nominee for Best Picture, right? It's under the radar, but it's one that's audience-friendly. It's really well made. The acting is spectacular, and it has a heart.
I don't know if I would put it out to pasture just yet. I do think there's some love for that film out there. I've seen it on some year-end top 10 lists from folks. I've seen people talk more and more about it. It's in our best comedy category, and it may be where I end up putting my vote when it comes time for putting my vote in later. It is definitely that there are, with Critics' Choice and some of the other groups like ours, yes, we have some bad apples. We all do. But we also have people like myself and you were when you were there in the day, which I take it seriously. And actually, the publicists do the one thing that's important that they can do is get it, the film in front of me and remind me when I'm voting that it's out there. As far as getting another T-shirt or a mug or a candle, those are cool things. Don't get me wrong, and I'll give them away to members of my family. But that's not influencing my vote. I mean, they haven't flown me to a set, and that wouldn't influence my vote as well.
Well,
my
vote
is simply based on what I believe is the most enjoyable content for the year and the best content for the year. Sometimes that winds up with the Academy, and you see Critics' Choice line up with the Academy more often than not because you get a big, wide representation versus these small niche groups when you get just, you know, the half dozen, two dozen, three dozen film critics of a city. That's getting a real insulated group of people voting, and those will be more obscure than when you get hundreds of people across the country, you know, giving that kind of sample size.
Now, one of the movies that is getting a lot of buzz, and I don't know if you've seen it yet, I started it and I stopped it because I just had this feeling from the very beginning it was going to be excellent, and I was kind of late at night and I didn't want to, you know, fall asleep, but it's called The Brutalist with Adrian Brody. It's also a very long movie, and it starts in Europe in, you know, the aftermath of World War II, but then it's a story of an immigrant who comes to America. Have you seen The Brutalist?
The Brutalist is a fascinating and amazing film from start to finish. It is long, and it's, you know, it's one of those slogs that it takes a little while to go through, and you have to be invested and keep going. You can't give it up after 45 minutes and turn it off. So it's good that you didn't really get into it before you wanted to walk away or step away. I think there's a market for it. I think it's a film that is going to look at some groups of people and be like, I'm not going to start even watching it. And I think that's going to go up against it.
Well, it's not going to do a lot of box office.
It's not going to do much.
Yeah. All right, let's kind of, because 2024 is behind us, so let's look ahead to 2025 with television and film. And one of the things on Netflix that's going to come up in a couple of weeks, I got to give a big plug to my friend Gabe Basso, who's from right here in St. Louis. Gabriel, I'm sorry, because he's an official actor now, but The Night Agent Season 2 is coming back on Netflix. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. It's coming up on, I believe it's January 23rd. You're going to get season two coming home for everybody to check it out. And the first season is still hanging out there over at Netflix. So if you haven't seen that, go check that out before the second one launches. And the other big title that's coming out for the first month of the year, January over on Apple, Severance season two. I believe that is season two. Yeah. You know, that was huge at the water cooler when this first season dropped. And I think people will be excited to see what's coming on
Jane,
that.
Jane, did you try that one? I tried it. It didn't work for me.
I tried, and yeah. I could not get
me
there.
Me neither.
I'm a slow horse.
You couldn't be in the water cooler conversation.
No, I don't get water, I guess. But I'm more of a slow horses gal.
On the film front, you have Mission Impossible, another Mission Impossible. 28 years later is coming out. You have another.
Wait, is that a two-parter?
Which one?
Was one of those Mission Impossibles a two-parter?
The first film came out a couple years back. You're very accurate on picking
up on
that.
Oh, so this is the second one in that.
This is, in essence, it's called The Final Reckoning. It's Dead Reckoning Part 2, The Final Reckoning, which the first one, Dead Reckoning, came out, I think it was 23? I don't have it off the top of my head. But yeah, first half was phenomenal. So I can't wait to see the finish of the that part of this great franchise. It's been good everywhere.
All right, Paul, tell folks. Oh, wait, let me throw in one thing that I did watch this week, too, just because I've been watching a lot. And it just holds up, and it's really good. It actually holds up very well for the time. I went back and I watched, just because it was one of those late-at-night movies, Jerry Maguire. Hadn't seen Jerry Maguire in a while.
It's a great movie.
It was fantastic. It really was really good. Tell folks where they can find your reviews, Paul Hall.
Hey, it's simple, commonguy.com. And I'll tell you what, the one thing that really struck me, there is on the schedule The Passion of the Christ Resurrection. So a film that you thought could never be a sequel made from it, The Passion of the Christ Resurrection, due April 18th in theaters. So sequels to everything.
I don't know what to make of that. Thank you, Paul Hall. Have a great weekend and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Cusimano's coming up next. Yeah, in case you missed it, Mike Johnson was elected as Speaker of the House. Brian Kilmeade will weigh in on that after 5 o'clock live. We're going to visit with Frank Cusimano here. Jane, I was thinking about this. I don't think it really matters that KSDK is moving from downtown because Frank never just sauntered on over from his office to visit with us on a Friday, has he?
No,
it's always been on the phone, right?
Yeah.
So we don't really care that you're moving, Frank. How are you? Happy New Year. Good point, Jane.
I tried to get in once, but they said they had a stipulation about Italians in that studio. So.
Don't tell anybody.
Kind of forgot about that.
I squeaked through.
Hey, Frank, there was a great tweet from your friend, not really mine. You know him very well, but I'm a fan of Brady Cook, where he said, catch y'all on the flip, and really wrote a very, very passionate and sincere thank you tweet, if you will, to Mizzou Nation, to his teammates, to Coach Drink, and the rest of the coaching staff. He should have mentioned you by name because you've been great to Brady Cook.
Well, he's the best. If I had a third son, I'd like it to be Brady Cook. And it's just, I mean, when we signed him at Channel 5 for our little NIL deal, very small one, I thought we were getting, you know, a pretty good talker. I didn't think we were going to get one of the most compelling athletes in the state of Missouri in 2024, which he was. I'm still asking for somebody to tell me what athlete has ever gone to the hospital in the middle of a game, came back, right? And win the game. Right. I don't know of anybody.
And, you know, that's a story that really probably deserved more national attention and didn't get it.
But I will say this. He got some text, and one of them was from Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah, that's
like
right.
The next day. Good work, kid.
That I do remember that. Well, what's going on this weekend, and what's your thoughts on the CFP at this point? I mean, yesterday was not as competitive as I think people had anticipated. Georgia did not have their starting quarterback. I find it fascinating. Jay, I don't know if you know this. All four teams that had the byes lost. All four of them.
That's interesting. Mm. That's very interesting.
Well, some of them didn't deserve a bye. And the only really bad thing about the college football playoff is that they gave byes to teams that won conferences just because they won conferences. Right. That's not the way to do it. It's, you pick your 12, and then you seed them then about who is the best four, and they should get the byes. But in terms of the actual games, Ohio State looks like the best team on the planet Earth. I don't think Texas can get them. And Notre Dame Penn State is going to be fascinating. I mean, that is going to be a great old school matchup between two really well coached squads.
I think Notre Dame's going to get them.
I guess maybe. I don't know. I don't like any of these teams. That's the problem. Yeah. And I think that there's going to be a discussion in the aftermath of this, Frank, because, you know, there's a lot of schools. I think, look at Mississippi last night. There's a lot that were on the outside looking into the CFP that probably deserve to be in. But this is the system. They have to tweak it. They have to learn from it. Yes. I'm just glad we have the playoff. I mean, we should be happy because we bitched about it for so long.
We've started.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up Mississippi because I make like one bet every 20 years or something. So last night I knew that Lane Kiffin was going to come in there with an ornery, nasty attitude and embarrass the hell out of Duke.
Oh, he did.
And so, yes.
I can now have dinner this week.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was an easy way to win it because they were kicked off, and they're a really good team. They thought they should have been in the college football playoff, which I don't think they should have been because they had that bad loss, I guess, against Kentucky. But, yeah, they laid it on Duke last night.
Hey, Mizzou lost to Illinois, obviously, the bragging rights game. They won the other day against a team that's probably a high school team, but they head right into the SEC fire this weekend, don't they?
Oh, my gosh. If you thought Illinois was good, and by the way, Illinois is really good. They put on the performance of the year last night and just blew out Oregon at Oregon, who's ninth in the country. But tomorrow for Mizzou, they're going to be facing an Auburn team. And you look at this resume, this is insane. They already have won on the road at Houston, which is fifth in the NET rankings, on a neutral court over Iowa State. They're sixth, and they have double-digit wins against North Carolina, Purdue, Memphis, and Ohio State, all top 50 in the net. I mean, they are insanely good.
Well,
this is going to be a tough task for Mizzou.
And one of the – look, I think he's always been one of my favorites. I got to know him very well when he was at UW-Milwaukee. Bruce Pearl is one of the best coaches in the country. He just is.
Yeah, he may be ethically challenged, but in terms of being a coach, he's as good as anybody.
He has been ethically challenged over the years. You're right about that. You know the backstory there, but he's a hell of a coach. There's no doubt about it. What is coming up on Sunday night, Frank?
Well, real quickly, SLU has a big one tonight against St. Joe's. There's a ray of hope for SLU, by the way, because they just went to Fordham, their first A-10 game, and they blew them out of the building. Blue's got a big one against Brady Tkachuk and the Senators. Brady comes in with 17 goals. Sports Plus Sunday night, we got a good one. It's going to be our final interview with Brady Cook. We're going to just go over everything, and he was just outstanding. We just taped it, and then we're going to have the 10 sports figures to watch in 2025 in the region.
As a preview, are any of the 10 members of the St. Louis Cardinals baseball team?
Yes.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
There are three people associated with them, two players and one executive.
Awesome. Oh, and also, Sue wanted me, she reminded me here just a minute ago to mention
I
won my fantasy football championship, Frank. Oh. She wanted me to remind the audience to tell
like
you
everybody.
About that. She's always interested in that. Cusimano, have a great weekend. Enjoy that, Brady Cook.
That's
Thank
all.
You very much. We'll see you. Jane, you have a great weekend, too.
I will.
All right, we'll see you next Friday.
Get more at 971talk.com.